For me, it depends on, where my window is. If I've got my window way down here, I could be looking at you, but my eyes are way down there. So,
Hey, my eyes are up here.
Up here.
You liking what you're seeing down there? I can't see
it. You like, my eyes are up here. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, JB. In this show, my man James Tapeleg Grayling and I talk about the triumphant return of the AHP, uniform changes, Nathan MacKinnon needing some attention, and a very special announcement about something new and fun you'll want to hear. Those topics and a whole bunch more Avs and hockey stuff. Coming at you in episode number 125 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around, the AHP is next. Hey, what's going on, Avalanche fans? Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He is James Tapeleg Grayling.
Yet again.
Still are, right? And I'm JV.
Still. Yes, and you are.
This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. It's been,
It's been a day.
It's been a day.
It's been a moment.
And we're back. No big deal, I did the math. Yeah. What's the podcast thing we use, James? It's Overcast.
Mm-hmm.
And Overcast, when you go on, it says when the last show was posted.
Mm-hmm.
And this says, and I'm showing you on Zoom here, it's inactive. So I took that personally.
Wow. Wow.
A little judgy there.
Yeah. Thanks, Overcast. I like Overcast too. I use it on my like iPod. Overcast,
yeah.
And yet inactive.
I mean, that's the kind of strong words there.
Listen, it has been, you did the math.
I did the
50
math.
Weeks.
50 weeks.
50 weeks since the last podcast. And I don't know what inactive means. I guess 50 weeks, but come on. We're active. We're active now.
We're active. We've stayed in touch. Right, our last show was February 13th, 2020. We were just about to do this episode just before the world changed a little bit.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we'll address the elephant in the room real fast because, we're more interested in the hockey than we are in our elephants.
Yeah, totally.
COVID shut us down for a little while. We used to do the podcast face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're doing it via Zoom. And I don't know about the rest of y'all, but Zoom has kind of taken over everybody's life. You get sure that has. Zoom fatigue. We've been, dealing with life and careers and things like that. So it's not, it hasn't been easy to like jump on a call and go, hey, let's do a podcast.
Yeah.
There's been other difficulties as we've gone. And this is really kind of our first, we've had opportunity, not going to lie. We've had a little bit of opportunity, but boy, it's been difficult to go, okay, let's do this thing and do it for real. Yeah. And so if you're listening to this and you're a longtime listener and you've been going, what the heck, guys? Hey, we've been going, what the heck too. So
I'm
with you. And thanks for being here.
Yeah.
Thanks for showing up. We're planning on showing up more often too.
Yeah. Thanks for sticking with us. A lot has happened personally. A lot has happened to us professionally. And we're just, we were waiting for the time where it just felt right to get back together for both of us. And I think depending on the week and depending on the month, that kind of switched back and forth. And seems like the timing's right now. It's so good to see James and talk with him. And we talked for, an hour and 15 minutes before we even started recording.
Yep.
Catching up on life. But James and I are good friends and we stay in touch with each other. And we appreciate all of you being here and thanks for your patience. We were talking about it too. We're not sponsored by anybody. We do this because we love to do it. And that's the end of our story. So, so we do what we can when we can. So either
that's
way,
the meta thing.
Yeah.
But y'all here for Avalanche and so are we anyway.
That's
so
that's right. That's right.
Almost everything Avalanche.
This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. I think it still is after all this time. Yeah. And this is the 14th season of the show.
Holy cow.
We're excited.
Okay. I think Overcast was going to add almost occasionally everything.
No kidding.
Or occasionally almost everything Avalanche.
They should probably rephrase their stuff, because I don't like how they judged us there. I just don't.
It's pretty judgy.
But that's going to change. It's pretty judgy. That's going to change. So take that, Overcast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're back. Thank you for your patience. We hope you are all well. And it's been a year. It really has. So when I say that, I think everybody feels that. So there we go.
It's the Avalanche's 25th anniversary, and it's your, and it's our 25th season, and it's our 14th.
It's our 14th. It's like we're going to catch up. We're going to catch up sometime.
It's like my 10th or 11th.
Yes.
You had three before me?
Something like that. I think we've done the math before. I
forget the math. I don't even know.
I don't have the energy to worry about that math anymore. But
I hardly have any energy even to drink this tea
or anything. But you are. He sips tea after he says anything, because that's what he does. Sipping tea.
Almost anything.
Hold on.
Got it.
Tea break. I need some tea.
Yep, tea break.
But it's good to be back in your ear holes, and thanks for sticking with us. We're still here.
This is episode 125, right?
It is 125.
125. So that means that we need to talk about people who were...
I forgot about jersey numbers.
Jersey number.
Jerseys.
And there's a big one there. Bernie Sanders.
Hello.
Bernie Sanders. What? Oh, Saunders. Saunders, sorry.
This just in.
Yeah. My apologies.
Sources are telling me that's not Sanders.
That's there's Saunders. A person in my ears. I'm sorry. I'm just hearing back from the control booth from the As Hockey Podcast Media Empire.
They're yelling at me for some reason. Our crack producer, Jimmy the Squirrel, in my
Jimmy
ear.
Jimmy the Squirrel. Jimmy the producer, the squirrel.
Other 25s. I swear I didn't click on this link. Can I list off some 25s, I think, that I have?
Okay. Yeah.
Mike Keane.
Yeah.
Chris Stewart.
Yeah. I never heard of him.
I don't know. Again, people are probably yelling at their device or what. Am I missing anybody big?
Well, there's a very, very French guy and another very, very French guy.
That narrows it down.
Maxime Talbot.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
I'm
going to click on the link.
Yeah, click on the link.
I'm going to click on it.
Yeah, because there's a pronunciation. There's a big pronunciation I messed up. But the big name in all of this would be Pierre Lacroix.
Well, there he is. Well, wouldn't you know? I didn't even put that in the notes.
Wouldn't you know?
Man, that's it.
Yeah.
How 2020, 2021 is that? I mean,
yeah.
I think everybody's heard that he passed away, and he's a big reason the Avs are who they are and who they continue to be. And that's just a big loss for anybody that's been an Avalanche fan since the beginning. Yeah, that's cool. That's kind of neat how that worked out.
Yeah, he apparently, so just I'm going to spoil alert the next episode, because apparently he wore number 26.
Oh, there we go.
In a year. And then when Peter Stastny came in, Pierre Lacroix moved to 25.
Okay, that's fair.
So, and yeah.
Give your number to the Hall of Famer. All right.
That's fair.
Yeah. That's fair. I miss Sean Podine. Everybody loves Sean Podine.
Yeah.
Did you see my story? Yeah. Did I ever tell you the story about going back to Lacroix, where we saw him after a game?
No, I don't think so.
We went to an afternoon game. It was me and my wife. And then we went to Cherry Creek Grill, which is down in Cherry Creek. What a great name for the place. But the Avs had won, and for the first time in a little bit. They had been struggling. You know, struggles back then were what they were. They weren't anything like we saw a couple years ago. But... Mm. Lacroix was there with his wife after the game, and I had my jersey on, and I just kind of, I'm not one to bother people. I try not, my dad and I call that jock sniffing. Like, I don't want to sniff jocks, like, you know, so I just kind of walked by him, and he looks up at me, and we just made eye contact. He was like, better? And I said, yeah, that was better. And I just kept walking, you know. It was just a cool moment. But that's kind of who he was. And you won't hear a whole lot of people say anything bad about him, just as far as how he managed the team and how he managed really a lot of stuff throughout the years, and how he made this team and this franchise something to be reckoned with. And Joe Sakic was mentored, obviously, by Pierre Lacroix. Mm-hmm. And I think that's still paying off.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah.
I know I've talked about him a few times before. I think that the salary cap era was probably much more of a challenge and change for him than he was... I don't know if I'm not going to say capable of handling, but it was just different enough that there was definitely a change. The Avalanche were a free spending team for a long time, and then they just couldn't be.
But I think there's there's free spending teams that can't put together good teams, and there's free spending teams that could do it. And he could do it.
Because the Rangers, I mean, they kind of had theirs, but they also, I don't know, the stars aligned for them in 94. But then even after that, they were free spending and, and you know, when they brought in Yager and things like that, it just didn't quite work out. I wonder if, you know, this is in the speculation realm, but I wonder if the enjoyment of it changed when you had to bring in that hardcore spreadsheet or if there was other things that changed along with that. Cause you know, it was a pretty bitter battle at the time for whether there would be a salary cap or not, how much that went. They lost the season in 2004-05. There's just so many things that could have played into that. So I don't know.
No, I have to agree with that. I think it's been proven the system's not set up to have, you know, the best two or three teams every single year anymore, between the cap and between how the draft works and between, you know, everything else. And I'm not complaining about that at all.
I think it's better.
It just is what it is. You know, you need to get fan bases excited. You can't have a fan base that's absolutely horrible forever and ever and ever. At least not on like purpose and things like that, but he could put together a team. And I think being a GM in the NHL and any kind of organization that runs like the NHL anymore, it's made so you're not supposed to dominate. But it was pretty obvious that Lacroix was able to put dominating teams together through the years. And it was damn fun to be a part of that.
Oh yeah. And you know, the stars aligned, there's no way that had the Avalanche still been the Nordiques one more year, there's no way that Patrick Waugh would have moved over to that franchise. There's so many things that happened that made it all work out. And we've talked about those before, you know, whether it was Patrick Waugh or, you know, how they acquired Peter Forsberg, you know, which all those things of who knew at the time. And now, you know, and then, you know, things changed.
Yeah.
And it's weird because, you know, they were like, oh, the salary cap is going to bring in a lot more parity. You know, I think that there was more parity. And yet at the same time, how many cups did the Penguins win? Exactly. You know, and that kind of thing. It's less chance of having a four-time repeater like the Islanders in the 80s.
Exactly.
You know, things like that. But
well, I wouldn't trade it for anything. And probably why I'm such a big Avalanche fan, because of their success early in their franchise. So
yeah. One more 25 dimension right now would be Logan O'Connor.
Yeah. Did you see the highlight of the goal last night?
I did.
What? That's skills. I don't think anybody asked him if he went to if he did that on purpose, but he'll obviously take it.
So hey, you know, since you brought it up, since you asked in that way, let's address the other big old elephant in the room. Comcast still does not have the Avalanche.
Notice I said highlight. James's skin it crawled when I said, "Did you see the highlight last night?"
Yeah, I see the highlight because that's what I got to watch.
Right?
I live in an apartment and I can't just slap a dish out there and pick up, you know, something. I physically can't.
It's annoying.
So I get to watch highlights. And I get to watch YouTube clips and I get,
I don't understand. I don't understand why this has gone on as long as it has.
Can I tell you what the sad part was that I read the other day, that this happened with whatever the Dodgers were on for their local RSN. And that lasted 4 years.
Oh man.
4 years.
I just don't get it.
I don't get how I'm going to be a podcaster like this. Are you kidding me?
Hey,
I got a highlight.
My wife and I cut the cable. We cut the cord.
Brilliant.
And actually, I don't know why I wasn't quite looking forward to it. I guess is what I was always used to, but it was one of the better moves we've made. So I don't know. Maybe that's your next move. I don't know, but I think it's just annoying. But I did get $16 back on my bill for January through July that we didn't have the premium package on Xfinity that we hadn't been using because you couldn't watch the games.
Yeah.
So wonderful.
No, there's, I mean, there's alternatives, and it's almost to the point where it's like, okay, it's time to explore that.
Yeah. That's actually a little cheaper. Because
I would need
too.
More internet.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have to probably boost the internet, but I'd lose, you know, and, but I don't think I'd actually lose anything I care about.
You might other end up than, saving some money too. So I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's later. But
the package I looked at maybe lost NHL Network.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Yeah. That's, I do miss NHL Network. I miss the MLB Network as well. But other than that.
Oh, you don't have MLB?
No, I don't. We don't have anything now. It's just anything that comes on our Fire Stick. And anything extra that we pay for. So I pay for Major League Baseball so I can watch pretty much every game every night too. But still, over time, I think it's only at like $125, $130 for the entire season. Nice. Which, you know, I don't know.
That's so not, there, that's there's not that. Too bad.
But yeah, it's frustrating. But yeah. Let's talk more about jerseys. John O'Grodnik is a name that I remember from the Denver Rangers. They played at the Coliseum. They were AHL or IHL affiliate of the New York Rangers, and they played here in Denver. So I remember that name. And Sean Podine. Dang, I forgot him. How can you forget Podine?
Podine.
And also, Mikhail Grigorenko.
The Griggs.
Mm-hmm. He's still around.
The Grigger.
I see his name every once in a while.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, that's a pretty lengthy list. You know, when we get to the next one, there's only six.
That's right. Popular number.
There's only six, and two of those gave them up for other people.
Isn't that crazy?
So, yeah.
And one switched to that. We'll talk about that next show. Tune in, everyone.
Tune into the next show, coming before 50 weeks later.
Yeah, we're going to try to get it before 50 weeks for you. So that's good news.
I will cry.
I didn't want to blow our cover there, but you know. Yeah.
But, you know, can we talk about jerseys real fast?
We sure can. Let's talk about jerseys.
Okay. How do you feel about these reverse retros?
The reverse retros, I guess traditional part of me is like, why mess up something that was so good before? They look sharp. They look good. And I think reading the rank, you know, everybody had to rank them all. The Avs were the clear winner in pretty much every ranking of the reverse retros. I think they look good. They look a little weird though, because they're not Nordiques jerseys.
Yeah.
How about you? Like, they rolled these out and there was a ton of hype with them. Worth the hype, worth the wait, or what?
You know what? When I'm looking at the picture that you put up that, you know, has the little schedule on it, you know what it reminds me of? Reminds me of the Latvia uniforms because of the pants and all that.
Yeah, I've got the Latvian flag on one of my Ozolinch All-Star jerseys. Yeah, it's totally, that's the same color scheme for sure.
I think this is better than what they wore to the Air Force Academy game.
I agree.
Yeah, with the weird A. I mean, that to me, that was the upside of that jersey was that it looked kind of like the design of what you see in skiing resorts in the mountains. Which, you know, from like the 80s and stuff, which I love. Yep. I love that kind of thing. But the downside was that it was just a bunch of blocks and who cared? This doesn't look too bad, but I'll tell you, the one that I really miss, obviously, is the Burgundy Third. Mm-hmm. I've gone on ad nauseum about that.
Sure.
The other one that I really liked was the one with the Colorado flag logo on the front, from the first outdoor
from the old Rocky Coors Field. Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah, that was great. I really liked that. I wish that they'd wear that more often, but no,
definitely.
So, you know, I don't know. There's something about like when you actually see him in action. There's that, and then when you actually see him on a person on the street, you know, not in pads and all that.
That's true. Yeah, seeing the full thing put together, I think. Yeah. Sometimes that works out well, and sometimes it doesn't, because I think we all read about what the Avs were going to do with their road whites, and then you see them, and it's just like, they went with the blue pants and the blue gloves and the blue helmets, and it just does. I think on the home burgundies, it looks okay. I've gotten used to that. Plus, they've played pretty well in them. But I can't get used to the road whites with the blue when there's so little blue in the jersey as a whole.
Yeah. And also the nameplate looks so weird because it looks like somebody just taped it on. Like it was a bunch of like white gaff tape.
Yeah.
And they stuck it on because it doesn't blend with the rest of it. It just, the white looks so see-through thin. Yep.
Yeah, you know,
it's like an episode of Jersey Shore or something. It's so see-through. And then you get the contrast of the nameplate and then the blue pants and the blue helmet. And you're like, is this beer league? What are we watching here?
I don't know. And I know there's so much that goes into it that I don't know about all this design and everything like that. But I just can't get used to that. And the 20, there's also,
it still
also,
beats the heck out of the LA Kings when they had those white pants.
Oh, totally.
With the white jersey.
Yeah.
And they're out there skating around and you're just like,
where'd they
what,
go?
What am I watching? What sport is this?
It's a bunch of gloves. No, maybe the gloves were white too or no.
Yeah. Oh, so
too much
strange.
Camouflage. There's also the 25th anniversary patch. It's just okay.
It's okay.
It's all right. It's not too much. For me, it's a little too little. So right now I decided to wear a jersey for the show and I've got a 2001, Patrick Waugh jersey on with the All-Star patch. Oh, James, is that your high note?
I'm breaking out. This is my Vitaly Kolesnik.
Oh, which has the 10th anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah. 10th anniversary one, which was an interesting design. It really played well on the Avalanche logo. It just took A out and put an X out in for 10.
I was just a little underwhelmed by the 25th anniversary patch.
That's just, I
guess simple is better. And it looks okay on the jerseys. I'm not saying it looks horrible. I just wanted just a little bit more.
So, that's okay on the center ice, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Should I, I'll put in a complaint to somebody that cares and they'll obviously change it just for me.
Looks decent in the highlights.
Yeah.
That's going to be my, that's going to be the sound that always follows me saying highlights.
The other thing that I don't think people understood was the reverse retro jerseys as mandated by the league. I think each team can only wear them like 6 times. And okay. I think there was so much hype, although it's only a 58 game season. Is that what it is?
56.
It's just like, it seemed like a lot of hype, but that's what the league wanted. But I think people didn't understand that they're only going to see them a few times. So there's that. The Avalanche aren't going to wear theirs until the 3 weeks from today when they play at Lake Tahoe against the Golden Knights. That's when they'll debut. Actually, the Wild are debuting theirs for tonight's game. So I wonder what those timelines are like too. I wonder if there's going to be... last night, Edmonton and Toronto had a reverse retro battle. They both wore their reverse retros. So I wonder the types of kind of planning that have to go into all this to make sure everything works out like it should.
Yeah. I just pulled up an article on them. Arizona, why?
Yeah.
I mean, the Ducks is hilarious.
Yep.
Is that one that?
That's the, what's the Flying Duck? I don't know if those had I know the Kings from that year had the Burger King. That's what they called that. I think each of them has their own kind of nickname.
The Calgary Flames one is still it was still a terrible logo in the first place. Sure. Yay Whalers. The Blackhawks, they've pretty much already, it's like an update of something they already used.
Yeah, they use so many because they play in the Winter Classic every other year.
What the heck is with the Stars one? That is ridiculous.
Have you seen
the Red Wings one is kind of like, okay, who cares? It's the same.
Well, that's the Red Wings. Who cares anyway?
Yeah.
Well, did you, speaking of jerseys, did you see the Stars debut their like fluorescent green ones, the hot green ones the other night?
Oh, what an
interesting look. They look pretty good out on the ice, but man, if I'm an opposing goaltender, I'm like, can I get some sunglasses or something like this? I joked on Twitter. I was like, do you plug those in between or are they solar powered? Because there's obviously something going on with this.
Did you get a lot of anger out of that?
No. And I tried to preface it with, you guys know how I like jerseys. Like, I'm not trying to trash these things, but it was really interesting, but it works for them. It was something that I think the Oilers tried not too long ago and didn't work out near as well, but... just be fascinating to sit in on these meetings and hear the thoughts that come out to try and make all this happen.
I actually like the New Jersey Devils one. Yeah. If I were a Devils fan, which will never happen in my lifetime, that would be the one I would get.
Yep.
That's pretty nice with a lot of green there.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't remember if I told you about this one. I was in East Lansing, Michigan, and across the street from our hotel was a rink and there were beer league games, and sometimes I'd just go over and watch for the fun of it. And the local arcade barcade is called Pinball Pete's, and they had a team and their jerseys were hot pink. I mean, hot pink,
super hot.
the jerseys were, and then they had like logos of all these video games characters and stuff on the socks and all that. And so you had like the Pac-Man and Galaga and all kinds of stuff, and Burger Time was awesome. But they were hot.
That's great.
Pull up some, maybe we'll link to the pictures that I put on
Pinball
the blog.
Pete's, man, ago. That sounds like a place I want to hang out at.
It was.
I love some pinball.
It was. Oh yeah. I hope they're still around. But yeah, hot pink. If I could just imagine playing against that.
So interesting. All right. So those are your uniform updates. Again, the reverse retros will only be worn 6 times, and it's actually within about 5 weeks. Although everything's compressed anyway because of the schedule and everything, but.
A lot of back-to-back games because of that.
Oh, yeah. A lot of back-to-back. It's really interesting that where they've had to set things up, and all of us, I'm sure, have noticed, but you're playing the same team at least twice. Right now, the Avs are in a 4-game stretch against the Wild. So kind of a playoff series type feel to it. So it's interesting.
Almost everything feels that way with so few teams playing and so
Doesn't
many.
It?
Yeah. Which I don't know. I mean, you're the baseball fan. Does it feel playoffy or does it feel baseball-y?
I think it feels more playoffy than anything. But yeah, the splits though, I think there's going to be a lot more splits because normally when you make adjustments against an opponent, there's so few back-to-backs in a traditional season. But now those adjustments are going to be even more, interesting and essential because you're definitely going to play that team again. Sometimes the adjustments you want to make against that team, you're not going to be able to try out until weeks down the road. And so many things have changed.
Yeah.
So coaching is really, really important right now, obviously, and making those adjustments that need to be made. We'll find out tonight against the Wild. You know, the Wild didn't look so good last night. They didn't have any answers for a lot of what the Avalanche were doing. So
other than damaging them.
Exactly. Or taking penalties. Or, yeah, you could also have EJ land on his head. That's one way to get rid of somebody. But did you end up seeing that?
No, I did not end up seeing it. And I searched last night and today, and I got to say, when you search YouTube for Eric Johnson injury, just the list
that, a lot of
that
stuff.
Starts showing up, you're like, oh my God, this guy's got injured a lot.
Him getting kicked in the face. Did you run across that one? Like when he got kicked in the face, and I think it was against the Rangers, like, ugly stuff.
I moved on at that point.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I could watch all of these and I'd still not find the right one from the other night.
But yeah, his head bounced off the ice last night. It didn't look too good. And with his history of concussions, I'd imagine we're not going to see him for a little bit, but you know, speaking of injuries, I mean, there's a ton of injuries right now.
Many injuries. Again, last season was the same thing.
Especially during the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Matt Calvert.
Matt Calvert
dealing with, they call it upper body, but Jared Bednar has confirmed that he's out with some kind of a concussion thing. He's not, he wouldn't quite say that he has a concussion, but he did definitely say that he's not feeling well. He's not feeling right and he needed some time. So there's that. And then we've got P.E. Belmar out with a knee. Eric Johnson is out. Devon Taves.
Oh.
He missed his first NHL game last night. I think he played 154 straight games in the league. And he took a shot off the foot the other night and didn't make the trip to Minnesota. But, man, he's been a great pickup.
Yeah. He absolutely has been.
Yep. Pavel.
Which is one of those things he was a free agent pickup. If you...
He was traded. He was going to be a free agent. I think.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. He was, and they traded for.
He was essentially
basically his rights. It was a trade and sign.
Yep.
Okay.
It was, and they signed him to a 4-year deal worth $4.1 million per. And so far, it's hard to complain about what we've seen, especially him on the power play with Sam Girard on the point. Man, it's been fun to watch. Pavel Francouz hasn't played. Nobody's really said what's wrong with him, but we haven't seen him. And he's not around. And Andre Burakovsky missed a couple games already as well. So it's part of the game, but it's hard to watch your team as they're banged up.
With that, and the Colin Wilson retired, not a big, no big deal. But, the Ian Cole trade, that was an interesting change.
Yeah, it was.
And then, of course, the big one would be Big Z and Brandon Saad trade, which that was... I don't know. I kind of felt like it was time for that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it was still kind of odd. It was like, okay, so I guess we're good on defense. I guess we're not worried about the big body.
At that point, it was kind of that decision. And I think we know that Big Z has had issues, not necessarily public issues with the staff, but he'll be, several times last season, he was a healthy scratch. Mm-hmm. And, he obviously wasn't, it was healthy scratch. He wasn't hurt or needed just a break, but yeah, he had made some decisions and things like that. And I think the Avs had enough of that. And instead of giving him a new deal, they decided to do a little trade action with Brandon Saad. And Saad started off a little bit cold and he scored early and then had a little bit of a stretch where he wasn't so good. But man, he's looked great. That chemistry on that second line has really come together.
Yeah. I think the biggest impact that Big Z has being gone is that it's one less team 58 plus.
That's true.
Jersey for you. That's true. Isn't it?
I don't think
there any team 58 pluses.
Yeah, Eric Johnson.
Okay.
Big Z didn't wear, he wore a 58. Eric Johnson wore the big, he wore the big shoulder pads. He wears the big shoulder pads. So that helps. That helps a lot. But yeah, you'd think Big Z, because of how large he is, that he would be 58 plus, but he's actually not.
Yeah, it's funny because it was almost like, in a way, I kind of equate it with the Tyson Berry thing, where mm-hmm. it's like, okay, when it's time, but it still seems weird that it was time.
At that point.
It's like, I agree with it. I absolutely agree with the move. And yet at the same time, it's like, oh?
When you said that, I thought the same thing you did. I'm like, wait, so we're okay without him and not replacing him with anybody? And then the Taves mm-hmm. deal came and it was like, oh, all right, I can get with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I
that
said,
that was a good replace. And then, you know, but Ian Cole goes and they waive the other guy. So, yeah. You know, I guess, yeah, the answer is yes. I mean, with Bo Byram on, you know, it's funny because it wasn't that long ago. I mean, probably just until Cale Makar came along where you were like, okay, what's going on with the defense? Mm-hmm. What is the problem with the defense? Why can't we get solid on the defense? And now things seem like pretty solid on the defense.
Yeah. With that though, with that comes my buddy John Waldman. Want to say hi to John. His big question is, you know, without Big Z, who holds people accountable for the hit, like on Eric Johnson last night? And they're just, and it's not that every hit needs to be hit, you know, someone needs to be held accountable for, but there comes a point where people don't want to come into your zone. People kind of slow down or hesitate that extra half second because they don't want to get blown up by someone like Big Z. So mm-hmm. it's trying to find that balance between having someone that's big, that big stay-at-home defenseman that can hit people, that will help people hesitate, and also pushing the puck and having that puck possession. So, you know, it's hard to worry about getting blown up when your team doesn't have the puck. And it seems like that puck possession game has really turned toward the Avalanche, and that's been really, really fun to watch. They've had their moments where they've had some, you know, turnovers and things like that, but overall, it's hard to score when you don't have the puck. And the Avalanche, I think, 2-1 ratio last night on shot attempts against the Wild, and that's the good stuff right there. So as you give away a little bit of the, I guess, toughness or, you know, hold people accountable, as long as you gain some of that, take care of the puck and puck possession, I don't want to say that's an even trade, but it's definitely a switch from those of us that have been watching hockey for a long time.
Well, you know, it's the first person that popped into my mind when you said that was Kadri.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with Kadri being that person is that he has a history of being goaded into more than just that.
Yep.
He'll take the dumb angry penalty, which is not where you want that person to be. Big Z would kind of take himself out of the play.
Yeah.
You know, so the question to me is like, okay, so where's it, you know, where is the value in that guy? Yeah. If we keep shifting more and more towards puck possession and away from accountability, because I think that was also part of the problem with the Dallas Stars series,
mm-hmm.
was that there wasn't that accountability that then could get back into the play.
Yep.
Or the accountability didn't come around the play very often.
Yeah.
You know, like watching that Dallas Stars series, Corey Perry wasn't dogged, wasn't out. I mean, he was skating so slow.
Yeah.
He was skating like ice skate. He was skating so slow.
Yeah.
It's like, why isn't everybody all over this guy? And I don't know. It's just the Avs have turned into very much not necessarily a tough team.
Definitely
and yet
I think it's a different, it might be defined as a different kind of tough. People don't talk about how they're tough to play against because of the grinding that they do. They're tough to play against because they're fast and you can't mm-hmm. keep up with them and they cause you to take penalties. The Avs power play has been great so far. They've drawn a lot of penalties. If you can't keep up with a team, then you don't have to worry quite as much, hopefully, about holding people accountable. So there's a mm-hmm. definite balance there. And if you lose someone like Kadri to an injury, how does that impact things? And you lose Eric Johnson. Gabriel Landeskog does a little bit of that himself. Somebody hit Cale Makar last night pretty well, and Landeskog went right over to him. So there's some of that, but it's not what we've been used to traditionally as hockey fans, because we've been used to the Scott Parkers and the Jeff Odgers and the Adam Deadmarshes, and there's a list of guys, David Kochi, guys that you know are going to be coming after you if you hit one of our stars. But the game's changing for sure.
Well, in the fourth line used to be those guys that you could afford to lose, you know, and now that's much less the case.
Yeah.
You know, there was almost like the gentleman's agreement of we're going to have this guy and, you know, our fourth line is going to play your fourth line, you know, and now there's, if you lose Big Z for a while, you lose the defenseman that you need at that time. And then, you know, cause it does roll so fast and line changes happen so fast.
And without Matt Calvert too, Calvert can't necessarily do that anymore just because of his history with concussions, but knowing he's there and he'll hold people accountable too. So there's a definite balance that, you know, it ebbs and flows throughout each game, but
Matt Calvert is almost like the big Dave Osborne of Super Dave Osborne of, of hockey. Cause he just keeps throwing his body around everybody. And then he's just broken. I can get back up, guys.
Takes me back to that one where he's on top of the truck and then hits the bridge and it's good stuff.
Dave Osborne. I'm gonna put that down so just in case we can find that for the notes.
Dave Osborne. Okay. Yeah, I bet you didn't think you're gonna get any Super Dave mentions in this show, but you know, we're here for you. You mentioned
almost everything Avalanche because we don't have time for everything Avalanche because we gotta throw the Super Dave Osborne
references. Story. Hello. Bo Byram made his debut on, speaking of Bo Byram, you brought him up. He debuted 10 days ago from when we're recording this on January 21st. Tonight he's going to play in his seventh game, which means he's going to burn his first year of his entry-level contract. He's here for good, and man, he looks comfortable out there. He's only got a few games under his belt, but man, he looks good. He fits right in. It doesn't seem like he's being left behind. It doesn't seem like he's lost out there at all. Just a super highly skilled young defenseman like the Avalanche needed any more of those. And man, he looks good. Got to be excited.
And he looked good in the World Junior Championships, even though I was rooting against him for Team USA.
Exactly.
I was like, okay, now it's nice not to have to.
Yeah. So you can see that coming. And, you know, on top of that, I saw somebody at, I think Hockey Reference tweeted it out. The Avalanche are the fourth youngest team in the NHL. I have to remind myself, I find myself as a fan watching the games, I have to remind myself that they're going to play like that every once in a while. And that happened early. The Avs came out first game of the year, all these high expectations, pretty much everybody's choosing them as the cup favorite. And they came out and looked just flat and rusty, like they hadn't had a preseason. And I think everybody started to wonder, are they really as good as everybody thought they'd be? But since then, for the most part, they have looked exactly, I think, like they should, and it's been fun to watch so far.
Yeah, the thing with not having the preseason, I hated the preseason only because it was full price tickets for an AHL game
for half most the team. Of the time. Yeah,
yeah.
Good times.
But you know, you definitely see the difference. And there's nothing about this season that's going to be exactly the same. People aren't starting at dead even like they used to.
Yep.
And that's going to make a big difference. And we've seen it all over, just the ups and downs of just about every single team. Injuries are taking their toll on just about every single team. Yep. Goalies are getting injured left and right because they're used to it.
Yeah.
COVID shutdowns. Yep. What was it the other day? The Vegas Golden Knights, they couldn't have their coaching staff because of COVID, which is just like, that just seems insane.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, and it seems insane compared to how well the bubble played.
Yeah,
that went for the playoffs.
That went really well, and I know that the guys missed their families and such. But I wonder if the league thought it was going to go as well as it did, because it was really good. It's not sustainable, obviously. I don't know if you can ask everybody to just do that for the entire year. Just wouldn't quite. No. Can you imagine? I mean.
And the best you could probably do is a few weeks on, a few weeks off.
Oh, sure.
And that's just no way.
Yeah.
You know, we're right now, like COVID wise, it's just to get slightly off topic, but business COVID wise, in the theater is still shut down. Yep. A lot of theaters still shut down. And, you can't, you know, looking at how you restart something like that, there was a lot of things that said, you know, well, what if you were at 30% capacity or 25% capacity? And it just wouldn't work. The yep. numbers absolutely wouldn't work. How do you, and then as soon as there's a case, you'd have to shut down yeah. just like the sports leagues are doing. And how you would handle that would be just nearly impossible. I don't see how they could do it. Even a 2 week on, 2 week off kind of thing, no way. Coming in and out, like the models.
Yeah.
The models are so difficult and so difficult to predict.
Yeah. And speaking of, as far as the, you reminded me, speaking of uniform changes, every team has ads on their helmet this year, mm-hmm. trying to recoup some of that money that's been lost because they can't have fans, at least yet. And, just all these complicated things that nobody has the answers for. It's just going to be a fluid season like that. You're just going to have to kind of roll with it. And nonetheless, though, really big things are expected from this team. Mm-hmm. You know, they haven't even been to the Western Conference Finals as good as they've been in the last couple seasons. But people right now, because of their age, because of getting more experience and almost getting, so they're getting age in all the right spots and they're getting younger in all the right spots as well. Mm-hmm. These are the highest expectations that I can remember. The one thing I did think about, and I put in the notes, I think you saw it, was in 2003. Was it 2003 where they signed Kuria and Solani? Mm-hmm. That was one of the bigger things that I remember when they signed both of them, and it didn't work out the way everybody wanted it to. Those expectations went really high. I think since then, these are the highest expectations the team has had.
And yeah, I think they're pretty much like number one or number two favorite for Stanley Cup. And yet, you know, I keep looking at the thing that I remember, or just the image that pops into my mind, was that last game of the previous playoffs, and mm-hmm. just looking at Nathan MacKinnon with this look on his face, it was just yeah. like, what just happened?
Yep.
Yeah. And as weird as this season is going to be, has been, the bubble was, I'm expecting more looks like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And the best you can do is just, I don't know. The best you can do is the best you can do. I know that's a stupid thing to say in a way, but at the same time, the expectations are there, but the expectations in a regular season
yeah.
would be slightly different or slightly more linear
that's
than
true.
They are right now. We don't know. Like, all it takes is one or two cases of COVID to go through the dressing room yeah. and everything changes for a little while.
Well, and I would hope, you know, I don't think anybody's obviously trying to bring COVID into the dressing room, but the higher the expectations, the more accountable you need to be to your teammates, the shorter the season because it is compressed. Not saying, you know, guaranteed it won't happen, but when your team has this high of expectations, I think that helps with them being vigilant and making sure that they're doing their best to make sure that they're giving their team the best chance possible to do well.
Yeah.
But yeah, with the shortened season.
Well, the other problem with that, though, just real quick, is your team isn't the only thing that's in control, because we're a yep. full contact sport we're talking about here.
That's true.
You know, somebody from the Kings, you know, or somebody from the Ducks, or somebody from Arizona, or, you know, you have that contact, and it's so far, and that's out of your control. Like league wide, you do the best, you know, everybody's doing the yeah. best they can. But we saw it in basketball, we saw it in football, we've already seen it in hockey, where with breaking the protocols and the Washington Capitals lose four of their biggest players due to protocol.
Yep.
You know, not even an infection. Now you get you throw that up against people who are slamming into each other, sharing their nasty sweat, you know, all of that. And you wonder,
somebody that doesn't know hockey, what do you know about hockey? They share nasty sweat.
They share nasty sweat.
Well,
sharing all the NHL hockey, share your nasty sweat.
I think we're on to
coolest
something.
Game on ice.
There you go.
That's like, you know, it's almost like it's inevitable. Like, there's inevitably going to be a shutdown, no matter how vigilant you are as a team, yeah. because there's there's all the other teams the six other teams that you're dealing with, seven other teams you're dealing with, depending on your division.
You reminded me, because the Avalanche had a couple cases during that initial shutdown before last year's playoffs. Mm-hmm. Not sure if that came within the organization or whether that was against one of their opponents just before the kind of shutdown happened, but Yeah, that's a really good point as far as you can only control so much. And that's unfortunate right now. So
yeah.
Hopefully everybody's doing what they need to, because a lot is riding on a lot of things right now. A lot of moving parts.
Yeah, I think they're taking it pretty damn seriously, which is good, you know. But it's just one of those things where you're right. There are so many moving parts and there's so many factors that you just can't control for.
It's crazy. That's
there was an article from one of the Canadian newspapers. I believe it was during the playoffs that said, or it was coming into the season that said, look, they're trying to control for everything they can, but anybody who thinks that they have control over the virus, no. The virus, the distribution, all that has control over you. Yep. You have to adapt to it. And I agree with them. It's something you can't control for.
And this could be something.
Not 100%.
Yeah. This could be something that could impact, obviously the rest of this season, maybe a couple seasons. I was talking about that last night with my wife, as the press was interviewing the players via Zoom. I was wondering, is the press going to be allowed in the locker room anymore? Mm-hmm. Because they don't, and I'm not trying to talk stuff or anything, but they don't necessarily need to be there to do their job. So I wonder how long it's going to be and who needs to get vaccinated or whatever before they allow or want the press back into the locker rooms. It's just an interesting twist on things, you know?
Yeah. I saw credit card commercial with Samuel L. Jackson in it. And we're not sponsored by anybody, so I'm not going to mention whoever's name that was. And right. I can't even remember offhand. But it was a professionally shot commercial, but no one was in the same room together. So
interesting.
Yeah, it was, but it didn't feel like a Zoom conversation like some of these ones, like especially in the baseball season where you saw where it was still very early and everything before, and you get these Zoom conferences and you're kind of like, yeah, I don't want to sit in another Zoom meeting that basically I'm choosing to watch. Come on,
no one does. Yeah, it's just so. You also mentioned Nathan MacKinnon too. Let's circle back to him. Yeah. He has been unreal. We watch him. We all watch him every game. He's on a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. As hesitant as the NHL has been to kind of put him on a pedestal with the Connor McDavids and the Alexander Ovechkins and even like Taves and Kane in Chicago. It's gotten to the point where he just cannot be ignored anymore. He is just that good. And it's fun to watch him do what he does and make everybody around him that much better. The confusing look after game 7, I hope that's not something we need to get used to.
Yeah. He is, this is going to sound kind of critical of him. It's not because it isn't his job to be a saleable personality. Right. I haven't watched a must watch interview with him ever. Mm-mm. I get very tired of the Sidney Crosby hype.
Oh yes.
And yet,
Sidney Crosby, I left him off the list. Yeah.
Oh, but nah, I'm not sorry you left him off the list at all, but he's just not, but Sidney Crosby is a personality where, he has a very marketable personality in that way. Sometimes, yeah, it's boring, sometimes it's dull. It's sometimes, and sometimes he gets more attention than he earned in some ways.
Yeah.
But that is part of his marketability. Nathan MacKinnon is not, to me, a super interesting personality in the way that he's been in the press. Like he does. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying he's dull or anything like that. I just haven't seen anything that makes me go, I really wonder what Nathan MacKinnon thinks about this, Yeah,
that's true.
No, I want to watch him play hockey, and that's his thing. That's great. Good enough for me. Good enough for me. I'm happy with that. It's just one of those things where it's like, if he's been ignored by the press, it's just, he's been ignored because he's just not super fascinating. Like they don't interview him unless he's a star of the game, and that's probably for a reason.
And maybe he likes it that way. Although Sidney Crosby, I think, enjoys and wants to be the face of the game. I'm not being critical of him. Somebody needs to be. And he's a good person to be able to do that. But it's just so interesting to watch Nathan MacKinnon play so well that he has to get the attention. And people rave about his play. I get the East Coast bias. I get that's where all the money is. I get that those are the teams that have been there the longest. Like, I totally understand that. But it is really cool to have someone who's playing at the level that Nathan MacKinnon is playing, so he can't be ignored. And yeah, that's fun. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, there are worse. Like, I was thinking about Artemi Panarin, mm-hmm. and that, you know, he's a very talented player. Hasn't, you know, this season's been a little not as much. He's in New York, but he's one of those guys also who's kind of like,
yeah,
not very sellable.
Nope.
I guess.
I think in the U.S. you need somebody either from Canada and the U.S. as well. I think it'd be tough to for whatever reason, obviously, to have an Ovechkin or a Panarin be the face of the NHL when mm-hmm. it's based out of New York and things like that. I don't know. It's so complicated, but it's pretty satisfying when you have somebody on your team that everybody raves about all the time for all the right reasons. And that's a pretty good place to be.
Oh, and anybody who doesn't like what I just said, that's okay. Go ahead and make sure that we know on Twitter at Avs Podcast. Because, you know.
That's right.
No.
We need to know these things. No.
Yeah, Jay needs to know that. See, that's why. Because I'm throwing you under the bus, my friend.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
There's a bus at 3 o'clock. Be under it.
Be under it. And I'll be there with bells on.
Yeah. But MacKinnon is scoring like mad. I always hate when people say like, they can score at will. Dude, if it was that easy, it would be 20-2 every night. Right. You know?
He makes it look a certain way against the best competition in the world. I mean, it's pretty cool to watch him do what he does, and I'm glad he's on the Avalanche rather than another team
that we have to watch. You know, you and I were talking a little bit about Alex Ovechkin, and that if you're going to expect Alex Ovechkin to play defense, either as a coach or a fan, you're going to just be sorely disappointed.
And speaking of that, there was one particular play that I remember a couple games ago, and the tweet that I put out was like the younger Nathan MacKinnon didn't prioritize the back check. Mm-hmm. The MVP candidate Nathan MacKinnon prioritizes the back check, and it was fabulous to watch him do that. Even last year before, a little bit, especially in overtime when everybody's a little bit tired, you can see him glide just a little bit at times. And I'm not trying to be critical, but yeah, it's interesting that he has prioritized that and knows that he needs to do things like that in order to help his team do what they need to do. But yeah, it was refreshing to watch that. He was the one guy that could get back, and he got in the middle of a 2-on-1 that could have been a 2-on-0, and he actually knocked the pass down. But noticing little things like that and watching him grow up as a player as well, like, he's always had the skill. We've seen his skill, but it's the little things that he develops that he understands that are important that he needs to be able to do to take his team to places that they all want to go. And yeah, when you mentioned back check, not saying he does that every single play, but he absolutely needed to there, and he didn't waste any time.
And there are times and places, you know, it's if I were to equate it to baseball, which I know absolutely nothing about, it's kind of when, like, you know, when you hit an obvious out to first, you know, you're going to be thrown out at first. It's dead obvious. Why are you going to run and blow out your knee maybe or something like that? So I have no complaints about, you know, if you make a decision that this is not worth it and it frankly isn't, fine, no problem. Glide to the bench, get a change, no problem, whatever. You know, it's great. When you just watch a play blow by you, that's a little different.
Yep.
Nathan MacKinnon's not doing that. It's like he takes the defensive situations as seriously as the offensive.
Yeah, it's cool to watch. It's really, really cool to watch. Again, I'm happy he's an Avalanche and not somewhere else. I would not want to face him and watch him crush my team and crush our dreams. So,
yeah, and that's the whole, in a way, that's the whole Avalanche team right now, is that they were very ignorable. And the Avalanche of the past, and, you know, sometimes still the very tight-lipped in the media, Avalanche didn't get the attention that maybe they, you know, deserve on the bigger, on the media side of things.
There was,
everything was always held tight to the chest, and they were a very boring team to follow as far as the rest of the league was concerned. Cause there just wasn't a lot out there. They were just quiet, tight lipped, didn't say anything. Now it's like, okay, you can't ignore them. Yep. They have to figure out, you know, people have to find out what's going on about them because they are just that damn skinny.
They just like, it's a really good comparison. Just like Nathan MacKinnon, they can't be ignored anymore. And those expectations are high for a reason. Yeah. One of the youngest teams in the league and obviously one of the best by far. So it's interesting to see how they've dealt with these expectations so far this season. And just taking it game by game. It's more important than anything. And I tweet it out when I can sometimes, but I definitely keep it in my mind was you don't have to win every game. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to win every game, but you need to win the right games. So hopefully they're on track to win the right games because I guess there's a lot of cup or bust conversation as well. If they don't win the cup, like, you know, since they're expected to win the cup, that's what they have to do in order to have a successful season. Yeah, parts of that are true. But so, yeah, I know. You need some breaks too.
If I needed the Avalanche to win the cup every year, then there would be 23 seasons of why did I even bother?
And good point.
Why did I bother? It's because I enjoyed the sport and I enjoyed watching them play.
Yep.
Yeah. I have a buddy, Scotty Hockey, who's a little more of that. And he's more of the, if they don't win it, then it wasn't, you know, then what was the point? Blah, blah, blah. I can't buy into that. Yeah. It's not fun that way for me. And I need this to be fun. If it's not fun, then I'm not going to bother.
I couldn't agree more. And I'm just happy that hockey's around. So it's a nice distraction from everything that everybody's dealing with. I look forward to game days, just like I always have. And yeah, there's that too.
Yeah. I look forward to going on YouTube and watching a highlight.
Watching the highlights. We need some kind of a sound effect, like some kind of a honk or something. Like,
please tell me that the outdoor game is going to be broadcast on NBC and not on Altitude.
I'm sure it will be. Speaking of NBC Sports Network is going away. I was kind of shocked by that. The first thing I thought about, there could be a list that you could probably think of the things that I thought about when it came to NBC Sports Network going away and things changing to USA Network after the end of this year. And I bet you couldn't come up with the one I thought of. Would you care to take any guesses?
You know, I don't know enough about the USA Network to say, so no.
No, there's that.
Hit me.
It wasn't Mike Milbury, and it wasn't worried about him, even though he doesn't have a job this year. It was Catherine Tappan. That's what I thought about first, because she's awesome. We shared a little moment at Coors Field for the outdoor game in the elevator. Not like Aww. That. There was a lot of people in the elevator, but... Yeah, she was in the elevator. It was actually, I think it was Keith Jones and Milbury in the elevator with her, and they were riding down to go somewhere. And, you know, I told all of them, but I was really talking to her. I was like, you guys do a great job. Thank you for all you do. So we shared a special moment. I just want to make sure Catherine Tappan is taken care of, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw some stuff about Mike Milbury later that was like, you know, getting on the whole, it was just this one thing. Why'd they fire him over this? It was like, it wasn't that one thing. It was a whole bunch.
Do you have 15 minutes? Let's talk for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they replace him with Mike Babcock. It's like, come on.
You can do better Mike than Babcock. That. They've had a rough
like,
that's
go what there. I, like, that's what I really want to watch.
No
like, kidding. Like, that's the guy I really want to tune into.
So dynamic. Yeah. Mike, you're awake, right? Everything okay there, buddy? But yeah, between Roenick and Milbury, they've kind of had their issues. But we'll see how that.
But you know,
goes.
I mean, the people that Milbury's been good. Hey, Bill Clement is retired. Mm-hmm. He retired. Holy cow!
He
he started the whole OLN. Mm-hmm. You know that
back
that whole
in the day.
Thing.
He versus, and who was his? Come on, Gary Thorne.
Yeah,
I guess Gary Thorne. Gary Thorne is not going back to the Orioles this year to be their announcer.
Really?
So, but yeah, a lot of great hockey memories from back in the day. They were quite the tandem. They were the national number one kind of Thorne mm-hmm. and Clement. I think they actually did a lot of the playoff games back in the day as well. Yeah,
and the guy from I can't remember his name right now from the Capitals was an OLN mainstay for the first couple of years. And then he got dropped.
I can't remember. Bit. But yeah,
I told you my Gary Thorne story about meeting him, right?
No, you met him?
Yeah. And in 2004, we went to the World Cup of Hockey in Minneapolis, mm-hmm. or sorry, St. Paul.
Great patch, and, by the way.
Oh, it's great.
I like patches.
It was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our jerseys, you know, the World Cup of Hockey
cool.
jerseys and all. And we went to a sushi place that was just a couple blocks away, and we're kind of finishing it. We're sitting at the sushi bar. We're sitting there. I'm facing my girlfriend, Meg. We're talking, and yeah, we're kind of wrapping up, I think, a little bit at this point. And somebody sits down behind me. I don't see who it is, but then I hear them order, and I just looked at her. I said, is that who I think it is? And it was Gary Thorne.
Nice.
And at the time, we both worked for Lion King. And of course, he was working for Disney.
So your ABC, colleagues.
Yeah. So actually that kind of, well, not really, but yes. And, we wound up talking, and we wound up talking for like 45 minutes and trading stories and, what the feel was between the two. It was just super nice. And we were like, we don't want to bug you. He's like, you're not bugging me at all. This is great.
That's cool.
It was very cool. So yeah, a nice guy.
Who said after 22 years? Was that him?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So if you ever
remember,
that's all you had. Yeah, that's what I'd say. You know, after 22 years, what an iconic. Love it.
Oh, yeah.
Raymond Bark.
And then zooming in on his kids crying and all that. Yeah.
Raymond Bark. So good.
Raymond Bark.
Good memories with the old voices.
Yeah. Those things that you hear, like you hear that guy and you're just like, it takes you right back.
It sure does. Know?
I wonder, like, Jay, what does my voice take you back to when you?
Oh,
when
so you many good it? Times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can you list some?
Weird hotel room in South Denver.
Hockey jersey stacked up. Yeah. Good times. But the beginning of something very special.
Every time I hear James's voice, I just think breakfast burrito.
There you go. In this very special episode of the Avs Hockey Podcast.
Very special Bunky Brewster.
I think we've covered almost everything Avalanche up to this point. I know we had a doc made for the original episode 125, and we were going to talk about David Ayers and things like that. And we didn't quite get to it. But
at some point, you just got to jump back in, and that's all we're doing. We're just
right back in. It's like it's like riding a bike or making a podcast.
I fell off.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Yeah.
Do you have any shout-outs? Yeah, you got any shout-outs?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Thanks, guys.
Shout-out to COVID.
I doubt there's anybody who's actually listening from it, but I did a workshop that I met a bunch of people on, and freelancing workshop, and I'm doing a podcasting workshop right now. So if any of y'all are listening to it, thanks. Shout out to you guys. I'm sure that you're going to say it, but I'm going to steal your thunder, and measure it if I need to. This is a shout out to everybody who is actually still here, because it's been 50 weeks and, you know, y'all got better things to do than wonder where two idiots one idiot and Jay are doing this damn podcast. Yeah, but it's true. So if you were wondering where the heck we were and you came back to listen, hey, thanks. Yes. You know, we definitely haven't done anything in the last, I haven't done anything in the last 50 weeks to earn it. Jay, of course, is still doing, Avs Twitter Psychic. Which, that's absolutely worth it. And he's put in more time on that than I have on this podcast. So if you have come back and all of that, seriously, thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate
it. We do this because we enjoy it. I do the show, A number one to make Jay laugh, and A number two to, for the community and all of the people who listen. And thanks.
Yeah, I want to echo that. It's been a long year for all of us, for us too, but I'm sure for you as well. So thanks for still being here, and thanks for understanding, and thanks for your patience.
Yeah.
I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago that we're working on the show still. We haven't gone anywhere. There's a couple of people that are like, hey, when's 125 coming out? But we sure appreciate you understanding kind of who we are and what we do and why we do it. And we're still here.
I'm a little rusty, but
I think we both are. It's a little bit more difficult to do this over Zoom as well. We always prefer face to face. There's just the dynamic that's great. Plus there's burritos, but, overall it's just great to be doing this again with, my best hockey friend out there. So we appreciate you being here. Also want to shout out, obviously everybody, as James already said, people who still play Avs Twitter Psychic, it's there. And it almost runs itself. And that's become larger than I ever really wanted it to be as far as the game goes. And Not how I wanted it to be or how I imagined it, but man, I appreciate all of you who make that a thing. It wouldn't be a thing without you. So thank you. Want to also shout out Andy Hashalance on Twitter. I appreciate your support. And also Lobo. They help out the show more than, you know, they help so I can watch, and I appreciate that. So yeah.
Mikey K.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just appreciate all of you, Team Avs podcast being there, and we're still here. We never left. James and I have stayed in touch throughout this whole thing, and we just thought it was a good time to get back together and do this thing. We've got a good season to talk about, and we've made it through some really bad seasons. So while we can, let's talk about the good stuff that's going on, and hopefully things work out.
Yeah. Are you ready for me to do the spiel?
Yeah, you should do the spiel.
I'm going to do the spiel, and then we're going to, I think we need to talk about one more thing.
Okay.
I think there's going to be one more
thing. It's up to you.
All right.
You call it.
Yeah, I think we're going to.
All right, spiel it
up. Okay, quickly on the spiel, you can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast, even if it's been 50 weeks since our last episode. We're not going to wait 49 for the next one. Come on. Not going to happen. At avshockeypodcast.com. We got subscription to this thing because, you know, that's the easiest way to get us. Occasional blogging, but you know, it's been quiet. That's okay. Jay is on Twitter at Avs Podcast, facebook.com/Avs Podcast. Did I just say, right? Avs Podcast.
I haven't done a lot on Facebook lately. I've stayed off of Facebook. It's Facebook's weird for me, but yeah.
It's there. Yeah, it exists.
It's there.
Instagram. I think you've been pretty quiet, but I don't know.
Fairly quiet.
Yeah. And, you know, if you remember curse word, we still have curseword.net.
God. I love how we don't need that as much as we used to.
No, absolutely. That was definitely devised at an odder time.
Yes, it was.
But, you know, there's places to connect and all that. But, you know, I'm also a firm believer that, you know, it's a lot to ask for people to just, you know, all you ever hear every day in and out is, you know, click, subscribe, like, all of that. So rather than all that, I'm just going to re-mention Avs Twitter Psychic because it's a fun game that Jay runs before every game on Twitter. Guess who scores the first goal? You get a retweet, you know, which are super valuable in internet dollars.
Yeah, they are.
But it's a lot of fun. Unlike, you know, it's not about doing something so that we boost numbers or anything like that. It's just a fun community game, and go have a good time. So hashtag Avs Twitter Psychic on Twitter, twitter.com/Avs Podcast, and just have a good time. You know, that's all that is.
Indeed.
That I think is the biggest thing, is that if this podcast or if these things that Jay does or whatnot are anything, it's about having fun as a fan, not just, you know, a big old numbers boost and everything like that. So
agreed.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. We got one more thing to talk about.
All right. We got one more thing. So Jay and I are actually, we talked about it in the off season. We talked about it during the baseball season a bit. Jay and I are going to start a new podcast. We are not stopping the Avs Hockey Podcast. Yeah,
don't freak out.
Even though it looked like we did, even all evidence to the contrary there, we are not stopping the Avs Hockey Podcast.
We were called inactive, but that was, you know, again,
that's just, hey, yeah. whatever they want to say, that's whatever Overcast wants to judge us.
we don't go by labels. Okay.
We are starting a new podcast, and it is actually going to be baseball centric. Jay, as y'all probably know, if you're a listener, has some what I consider bona fides as a baseball person. He's got stats. He's got experience. And I don't. And I've been thinking about this. Something I wanted to do with Jay for a little while was start a baseball podcast where I get to be the newbie, where I get to be just like the new approaching fan. And Jay gets to be the guy who has those bona fides, who has the credentials. And it's going to be called Baseball Schooled. You can go to baseballschooled.com, but there's nothing there just yet. We're probably starting in February with pitchers and catchers showing up. And it's just basically going to be Jay and I talking about baseball, doing a lot of what we do here, but as me being an emerging fan, learning the game. And Jay's going to school me on it.
As much as I can. I don't know.
Well, a lot more than I could.
Well,
the whole point of it is that we want to just have fun as, just like we do here as fans, as not as insiders or anything like that. So if you're a baseball person or you've thought about becoming a baseball person, especially as we have more sports on TV rather than sports that we can go to, this is kind of in that line. So baseballschool.com, there's we've already got the socials and all of that. Big shout out to our man Hirsch, mm-hmm. who has done logo stuff and work for it. You know, work, when we say work, it's dude's volunteered and just been nice as heck about all of it, and just like something he really likes to do. So thank you to Hirsch, who's designing our logo, and we're going to start that next month.
We're super excited, and the spirit that we bring to Avs Hockey Podcast, we're going to bring to Baseball School as well. So it's going to be fun, and we hope you love it.
And, you know, big thank you, Jay, because this is kind of like, you know, this is one of those things where it's like, it was an idea I had, but at the same time, there's just no one I would rather do this with than you, because, you know, you make this thing fun for me.
Same.
I just can't imagine just doing it, you know, with, you know, I think that, you know, it's going to be a little different in some respects. I think that there's going to probably be some times when maybe I'll do, and you know, talk to another baseball fan or something like that. But the core of this whole thing is you and I, very much like this, and having a good time.
We're excited. It's going to be fun. Yeah. So yeah, if you're, like James said, if you're interested in baseball, we hope it'll be entertaining for you, and come join us and check us out.
Yeah. So yeah, that's our, and I did say we're not going to put this on the back burner, but it's unfortunately what it's going to do is it's going to kind of double up our load of, I mean, it's two podcasts versus one. I don't know what that's going to mean overall.
Yeah.
I don't want to take away focus from this. And obviously most of the baseball season is going to be played when hockey is off.
Sure.
That's going to be a little different this year for obvious reasons, you know, for the way that the season is and the schedule is. I don't want to push this. I don't want to push the Avs Hockey Podcast aside and make Baseball School the new shiny thing that we pay more attention to. That's not what we're going for. It's not what I'm going for. I just want to make sure that, you know, we have fun doing this as well as that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Cool.
That was a little announcement.
Yeah.
That was exciting.
That was unexpected. Sorry, guys. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you haven't been around for 50 weeks. Now you're announcing something else.
My camera's on. Can you see me saying, don't stop talking? James, mute yourself. No, it's going to be fun. And again, we're looking forward to bringing you two fun things rather than taking away from this. That's never even crossed my mind.
No.
I think, I don't know how much like crossover there will be or things. I don't think there's going to be any. So there's no reason why one should be better than the other. It's just going to be, like I said, the spirit of what we're trying to do as podcasters is going to live on in both of them. So there we go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else?
Cool. That's it. That's it. Call it.
Here, I've got an iPad that you can touch through Zoom. And fist bump.
Boom.
Fist bump. Right on. Once again, thank you for downloading the show. Thanks for sticking with us. We're here. We never went anywhere. And we'll be back, like James said, before 50 weeks. It'll be before
48.
2022. It's easier to come back when the team's playing well, and it's easier to come back knowing that people are ready for a new show. So happy
considering the seasons that we have that we stuck with it through, I think we can survive this as well.
we can
survive a better time.
We can grind through this, I guess. Yeah. You know. But overall, it's happy to be back. So James, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for downloading the show. We'll talk to you again soon, everyone. And until then, take care. Go Avs, go. We'll talk to you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya. I'm going to do it.
Okay. Yeah, I think you should do it to it. You know what I don't think is fair about this? I think what we really lose by doing this with Zoom is you can ignore me. I can't just like,
I was going to say, throw you at me. That's how you do this.
It's not as...
I'm sure you'll make up for it when we can finally get back together.
Oh, yeah.